Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Welcome, everyone, to another program designed to stimulate your thinking about what truth is and how to find it. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I'm here with Dr. Don and Rick at a remote location. And we are just about to start our program called The Bible on Trial. Today is Juneteenth, 2020. That is June 19th, 2020, the day when it is said that the people in Texas finally found out that all of the slaves had been freed. And that is a momentous day in the history of our country, because we are one of the only countries to have fought a civil war to emancipate an entire population of people. 1865, Don. And the year was 1865. So let us just get a couple of little pieces of housekeeping out of the way. Our primary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, published in 2007. And you will also find a whole bunch of really good reading material written by Rick, including The Grand Plan and a lot of others. And I encourage you to make use of that as a resource. We also have our secondary website, our original website, located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you will find historical and biographical data for our ministry. You will find a page called the New Book page. It's not so new anymore, but it was back then. That is where you can go there. You can find out how it was that the book came to be. And we encourage you to do that. We have a lot of good things that are going on in this world today that are related to what we have been studying here on Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we will get to that in just a moment, but first our prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a peaceful and joyous day today as we learn to learn the truth. I thank you, Father, that you will bless us here and all of our friends there, wherever there is and whenever they listen, so that your Holy Spirit will influence them to understand and know the truth of the words of Jesus Christ that he gave to his eyewitness disciples and the truth that God gave to his prophets in the Old Testament. And I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you?
Good morning.
Nice to see you. First time in
months
because of this COVID thing.
And I drove by your driveway 2 or 3 times this morning, kept missing it. Tell them why.
Well, a couple weeks ago, we had a huge, I mean, this tree was 80 feet tall, and it was interfering with the power lines. And so the Edison company sent a tree company out, and
they took it down.
Sorry. And it took them an entire day. And boy, you watch that guy working up there with
Was it evergreen or?
It was kind of like a sycamore or something like that. It was huge. And it was a very interesting thing. So
I didn't recognize the terrain, and I just went
scooting right by the street, huh? And good morning, Rick. You are down in, well, why don't you tell our listeners where you are today?
I am on the Back Bay of Newport Beach. And I'm watching the people, and there's paddleboard class and junior lifeguard class. A young mother with her, looks like about 2-3 year old, playing in the sand. The kids are out on the inflatable play equipment out in the bay. The people are setting up paddle boards for rent and joggers and walkers. And I'm thinking, you know, life is getting to some sense of normalcy. And this is what God wanted. God wanted the people He had created to enjoy this world that He has, that He created. At not to have restrictions on enjoyment and fun and so on. I'm sitting here right under the departure flight path from John Wayne Airport, and the jets have been going overhead, and I'm saying, you know, I like this. This is the way it is supposed to be. And
it's almost, of course, Rick, it's almost, you know, it's almost as if the COVID situation and these other vile situations that are out there right now have been placed on a back burner somehow, hasn't it?
Well, I hope they've been put in the trash, because I don't want them on a back burner. I told you I rode my bike from, I'm staying with my daughter in her RV here at the, it's called Newport Dunes, and I rode my bike over to Balboa Island, which is about just under 2 miles. Rode around the island and then picked up lunch on the way back. The restaurant looked pretty full to me. They were doing the social distancing, I guess, but at least it was dine in. And Costco, I had to wear a mask. But it's getting there. And what I thought is, here, this is what the difference between what the devil does for those who obey him and what God does for those who obey him. The devil makes it oppressive and tries to keep people apart and tries to divide them and make them hate one another. And, I don't have to go into great detail. And then when people are so miserable, they don't even like life anymore and think that life isn't even worth living anymore. The devil says, well, blame God, because he's the one that made it this way. When that's a flat-out lie, and, you know, the devil is gifted at lying. And then he says he'll offer you, you know, freedom and wealth and so on and so forth, but then he never delivers that. And that's what the progressive left do, is, like, I can't help but think of the African Americans who have been promised all kinds of things by the progressive left, but the progressive left has never delivered it to them. They just keep promising it, and they just give them, you know, enough money to survive, but not really to live. But because they're handing out the money, they keep getting the vote. I don't think that's going to happen this time, and I hope that it doesn't happen this time. Anyway.
You know, Rick, it is interesting that, you know, you said that obviously Satan is a liar. So are his minions. So are the people who are trying to influence the world to make a choice for death, the death road, rather than the life road. If they can't convince people to choose the death road by subterfuge and deception, they will try to make them choose the death road as the lesser of two evils. This will be less worse than something else. And you see,
what I see is the devil is trying to force people onto the death road.
Force people. Right.
Not
exactly.
He's not trying to offer them wealth and honor and popularity and power.
And
he's
that's what I'm saying.
If you guys are not doing what I need you to do to get my day in the sun, my last hurrah as I go out, I'm going to force you to do that. So what is he doing? He's trying to bring in the mark of the beast before the beast has even appeared. And he's trying to bring in a tyrannical dictatorship and a one world order. This is all what they planned in Davos just a few weeks ago. So, he's going to say, you know, if you're going to choose love thy neighbor and honor God, I'm going to give you hellfire and brimstone anyway and see if you can stop me. Which I don't see that God would allow him to do that. He may allow it to a certain extent so that the people he tests the people to see how strongly they desire peace and prosperity, how much they do care about their neighbor and about their God. See that the devil has really made any progress or had any success with the people in getting them to blame God for the pandemic and the riots and all of that. I still see the heart of most of the people is a heart of caring and love for their neighbor and worship of God. Do you have any comment on that, Dennis?
Well, you know, I'm just thinking about all of the people that are suffering today because of what Satan is doing. I think of this poor cop that got nearly assassinated, and maybe it would have been better had he done so. Because now he's going to be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. High quad, by the way. And nobody is saying anything about that out in the public discourse. They're not saying, well, look at what Antifa or Black Lives Matter did, or somebody who was just out to kill a cop. Satan is pulling. He is now in the musical genre of organ playing. He has pulled out all of the stops, and he is leaving.
That's how Satan works. He tells a feel-good lie, but the evidence proves that he has no good feeling and he has no good intention. He has an agenda, and he's trying to bring in tyrannical rule.
And now get this. As a result of that, someone has come up with a shortcut for Apple iPhones. It doesn't work yet on any other kinds of phones, but you can get an app that allows you to say, "Hey, Siri, I'm getting pulled over," and your iPhone will automatically start the video without you having to touch your iPhone. You can have your iPhone, you know, on your front dashboard or wherever you keep it while you're driving. And if you get pulled over, you can say, "Hey, Siri, I'm getting pulled over," and this will start a recording. And why? I mean, I'm just thinking how awful that is from any number of standpoints. I have also heard this morning that the police department in Atlanta is no longer answering. Okay, the police department's answering the phone, but when they call for service from police officers, about 90% of the police officers in Atlanta are not answering those calls because many of them are not even on the job anymore. They've quit because of the danger that is involved now in going out on a call. We have come to a place that I, in my 70 years, never imagined in my wildest dreams that this would be the case. So, you know, Rick, I am more now convinced today than ever before that what we are seeing is truly the last gasp effort of the most evil being in the entire world, in the entire universe, to get his people defined so that he can know who they are and so that he can use them to terrify the good people of this earth into following him instead of following true God.
Just remember this. Stay true to yourself and true God and to God, and things will get better after Satan has had his attempt to sway the people over to dark, oppressive side. I read last week. I want to start with it today. It's found in John chapter 5 or 6. Sorry. Verse 47. Let me double check that. There's a bit of a breeze here, so I'm trying to keep the pages together. 5:47. So it would be 6. Sorry, 6:47. Yes.
Give us it one more time.
John chapter 6, starting with verse 47. He makes that very, very important statement that opens up this section of his teaching. He talks about from God, by God, teaching humanity. And remember that God is not teaching you how to grow crops, how how to harvest them, how to grind the grain into flour and bake it into bread, how to take some of that seed and plant it for the crop for next year. God is not teaching you how to do that. There are teachers in this world that will teach you how to do that. What God does is He uses those examples to teach you what you need to know, to educate your spirit or your soul, the consciousness, awareness of your being, to bring it into 100% harmony with His spirit. And God is spirit. And we must learn, we must teach our spirits and learn, we must teach our spirit, who is us, the consciousness that looks through our eyeballs out into the world, and our ears that pick up the sounds of the world. We must learn what our soul needs to live. Starting with verse 45. They will all be taught by God to hear, and that's hearing the words, is hearing the information from the Spirit, by the Spirit, for the Spirit, or for the spiritual. To take in the words, teaching of the Father, and learn from it, is to come to me. So, to come to the Son is not believing that the Son is the Son of God. It's not believing that He was a good man and that He died on the cross. Those things are all true, but that is not what He means to come to the Son. He said, they will all be taught by God. So this teaching comes from God. It must come from God and only God. To hear, to take in the words or teaching of the Father, and learn. Not just to hear it in one ear, out the other. Oh, that's good, everything's fine. No, you must learn it. I was talking to my brother-in-law a couple of weeks ago, and we were discussing, well, I said to him, when you read the words on a page, where do they go? Well, they don't go anywhere. Well, I was kind and I didn't ask him this question. Well, if the words you read on a page don't go anywhere, then why do you study words to prepare yourself for a test? Because if you read the words and the test is not an open book, where are you going to go to recall the information you read and studied and learned so that you can answer the test question correctly? But in effect, that's the question that I have. for those who say that, well, when you read the words on a page, they don't go anywhere, then why do you even bother reading them? And the words that your teacher did you with when you were in school, where do those words go? And why would the teacher even bother telling you what you needed to know if those words didn't go anywhere? So, very important point that you must know is the words that you read when you are studying, even the words what you read when you're not studying, but the words that you read when you're studying, go from the page into your intellect. And what you do with those words in your intellect is what is most important. You either keep those words in your intellect or you let them slide right on out and keep in your intellect that what you hold to be true. Learning is key. So, take in the words of the Father and learn from it is to come to me. So the only way to come to the Son of God is to take in the words from the Father, which earlier in that teaching he said that the Father told him everything that he wanted him to say and how to say it. So he brought the words from the Father to this earth to speak them in the presence of the people. And those people who listened and learned came to him spiritually, not with their legs and feet walking toward him, but through the words. They came to him through the words. They were drawn through the words. If there's one thing that I say that you connect with, I hope that it is this: the words of the Father given to his Son, who spoke them to his disciples. Two disciples wrote them down. God preserved those words. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. They preserved those words so that those same words would convey the truth of the teaching, the truth in the teaching, to those who read the words in Matthew and John. And those are the words of the Father. The words of the Father are life, eternal life. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. I didn't have this text for you last time, and I want to give it to you now because it is important for us to know and understand this. Matthew chapter 22, and we'll start with, I'm not going to read these verses, but you look at, starting with verse 23, this began with a question from the Sadducees. Now, I can imagine that the group of Sadducees had asked this question before, not to the Son of Man, but to the Pharisees. You see what gave each religio-political group, I guess you could say, their defining element is to ask a question which the other group was unable to answer. The Pharisees asked their question about the Son of God, whose son is he, which was answered by a question from the Son of God himself about John the Baptist and where his message came from. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. So they asked him a question. The hard question, at least it was for the Pharisees. Hard question to answer about the resurrection. But where I want to start is verse 31. So this is Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 31. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. With all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.
Rick, question. Why do people think that that verse basically gets rid of all of the Ten Commandments? All you have to do is love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I've heard people saying, well, you know, Sabbath doesn't matter anymore, and other things related to it. How would you answer that?
Well, first of all, about the Sabbath, I would say just look at what we've been going over the last few weeks, talking about the manna. If you are astute in your study of that time when Israel was out in the desert, you will note that God required them to honor the seventh day Sabbath before he had even told them what the Ten Commandments were. The point is that when God makes one day of the seven-day week holy, and by sanctifying it, who are you to say it no longer is holy and sanctified? Since when did God turn his holy, sanctified day into a common day, just like any other day of the week? And also, if you say, well, he made Sunday holy, you'd have to show me where he did that, and you won't find it. You will not find it anywhere in his teaching that he made the seventh day of the week a common, ordinary day, and then sanctified and made holy the first day of the week. So what I would say is, when God makes something sanctified and holy, and think of humans in this case, he doesn't unsanctify them. He destroys them if they stop honoring him.
And you know, Rick, this brings me back.
You can always move forward, but you cannot move backwards.
You know, I find it fascinating that people will cite a marriage vow. The pastor will say, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. What God sanctifies, let no man put asunder. That's basically what that means. God has sanctified the marriage. Therefore, don't change it. Don't do away with it. And this is the same with the Ten Commandments, the covenant of the kingdom. The covenant is essentially the marriage covenant between the kingdom of heaven and the king of the kingdom of heaven. Why would people in that kingdom even begin to want to do away with that which causes them to be in that position in the first place?
Well, you know why they would want to do away with it, because they don't want to keep it. They don't want to obey it. It's not funny.
No, it is funny in a way. What I'm saying is that shows they're not in the kingdom. That is
exactly.
A demonstration that they have not. And one of the interesting things that I posted today on our episode info, there's a group that I belong to that talks about Paul the false apostle, and we're having and by the way, I mentioned the fact that Jesus didn't come to die for our personal sins. He came to die for the forgiven sins of the kingdom of heaven. And oh my. And people will keep saying, they keep going back to this personal salvation. I say, what you are doing, you're saying exactly what Paul has said. So what is it that Jesus said that was different? And why do you keep going backwards, trying to prove that you don't need to be in the kingdom in order to be saved? You just need to have a personal relationship. That is a lie done by Paul. These are people who don't believe that Paul is an apostle. They still use Paul to define their salvation.
Yes, they do. I'm just watching a little boy, looks like about 5 or 6, and he has a prosthetic leg, walking along the beach here. Actually doing pretty well. And he's having fun.
Cool.
Finding stuff to pick up. The second commandment, let me read it in case you don't remember what the second commandment says. Exodus 24, And is it 24? That was 24. Sorry. Here it is, 20. Starting in verse 1. Then God spoke all the words, saying, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And here is the second. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and commandments. So there is a directive given in the commandments that if you love God, first of all, he will bless you and your generations after you, thousand generations. For those who love him and keep his commandments. Now, if one of the commandments has a command in it that if you love him, keep the commandments, and that by doing that, he will bless you, your family, and the generations that of your family to follow, as long as they continue to love God and keep his commandments. Is that a good response? A good answer, Dennis?
It is a perfect answer.
What we have been looking at and studying is the first thing that one must do before they can hope to enter the kingdom of God. And what that is, quite simply, is to know that the kingdom of God is not a place that you can go to. By that I mean the kingdom of God is not a city, it's not a country, it's not a planet. There is no geographic location that one must get to in order to walk through the gates of the kingdom of God. I believe that it was the Son of God who said that kingdom is among you. And what I believe that he meant by that is he is the kingdom. And those who come to him come to the kingdom. And I just read to you what that is. He said what it is to come to him. They will all be taught by God to hear, to take in the words of the Father and learn from it, is to come to me. We must take in the words, learn what they mean, obey them. His words are truth. And will expel the lies, the darkness in our intellect, the heart of our soul. It is our soul. So then he uses symbols in teaching, bread and water. The two things that he gave to the children of Israel in the wilderness, bread and water. Bread from heaven, water from the rock. And the point the Son of God makes about that is the fathers of the Israelites he was talking to ate the manna and they were satisfied. Their hunger was satisfied. They drank the flowing, gushing water from the rock and it quenched their thirst. But they paid little attention to the law. The bread from heaven that God gave to Moses, that was words, teaching. They didn't learn from God and they never entered the kingdom. Therefore, all but two died in the wilderness. And at the time the Son of God was speaking to the Jews here, he says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. Remember the text that I read starting the study today. God is God of the living, not God of the dead.
Rick, Don would like to know what that text was again.
Matthew 22, starting with verse 23.
45.
Starting with what? 43.
Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Wait, that's not, that can't, Matthew 22?
Matthew 22. Verse, starting with verse 23.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think it's 23.
Matthew 22. I started with 23. That was the question by the Sadducees, where he says, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. That's verse 32. So, the Son continues his teaching. And thing that the people will catch on to in what he's teaching is when he says your fathers ate the manna, he wanted them to realize he was talking about the food that gives life. The manna the bread that you eat and it satisfies your hunger. Well, sustain your life, but it will not give you life. In other words, he told them, work for the food that will give you eternal life. And this is the food I am giving to you. In order to enter the kingdom of God, we have to be able to differentiate between the food that sustains life and the food that is living. The food that is living, the living word. And that when you take in the living word, you are taking in life. Life that leads to eternal life. Understand the teaching is spiritual. Make the connection with the physical, tangible representation of the spiritual. Because only when you understand the spiritual and you take in that food, the words of truth, and keep them in your mind, will you have any way of attaining to eternal life. Eternal life comes when the spiritual food, which is the teaching of the Father, brought here by his Son, spoken to his disciples, and who wrote it down so that we can read it and we can take the words from the page, put it in our intellect, and there it must stay. He talks about the living water, that the water, you drink in the water, which is taking in the word. The word is also the water, spiritual water of life. And as you learn and your intellect is filling up with these words, the water of life, they well up as water that you've dug down to and hit, and the water pressure then starts pushing that water up, and it becomes a spring of living water flowing from the heart and waters the world, like that rock in the wilderness where water was flowing from. Every person that enters the kingdom, not those who are entering, every person who enters the kingdom becomes a source, becomes a source of truth. And what comes from them are the words of life and the water of life. Flowing water cleanses. Anybody who has taken a shower can understand how flowing water cleanses. And the bread of life brings with it eternal life. The bread of life is the words of truth. In chapter 6 of John, let's start with 47. Verse 47 in John chapter 6. Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Now what we need to do is to take that word believe, connect it to what he taught earlier about in the verse, in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And to hear the words of the Father and to learn from them is to come to me. To hear the words of the Father and learn from them is to come to me. You have to believe that. And that's what he's saying. You have to believe that. I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Who believes that the words that he is giving them, he got from the Father, and the Father guarantees that if those words are in your intellect, in your heart, you have eternal life. I am bread of life, he says. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Dennis, how many minutes do we have left? I'm having a hard time seeing my phone.
Oh, okay. Minute and a half.
Okay. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, also, which I shall give for the life of the world, is my flesh. Tomorrow,
1 minute,
we will go from here and we will talk about his flesh and his blood.
Thank you, Rick. That was a fabulous study, and I'm glad that you're having a good time there out on the Back Bay. I've been there a couple of times, and it's a wonderful location. We encourage our listeners to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net, where you can download any number of 1,156 programs that we have. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time at the same location for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We will see you all tomorrow. And Godspeed today. Have a happy rest of your day.